Not once did that hero ride in and the villain get back and him tell him about the Lord. And so we sat there, all of us did this, didn't we? Some of us still do. You know, and we never, and tonight's the first time someone said, are you against the movie? No, I'm not against that. I'm for Jesus. I ain't got time to be against. I'm just trying to tell you how you can tell whether you're really in the Spirit. Again, it becomes apparent how little we walk in the Spirit. But that's, don't get feeling bad about it. That just shows you how much room there is to grow. So you can surrender more and more of your life over to the Lord. And so it says that it does not rejoice at wrong, but boy, we rejoice at wrong. You know, it reminds me of Micah 6:8. It says, Micah 6:8, He has shown thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy. Now, it goes on, but I just want to stop right there. Love mercy. Love mercy? Our old carnal nature doesn't love mercy. Only when it's extended toward us. Oh, yes, Lord, I love mercy when it's coming to me. But, Lord, get them. You know, that was just like the cowboy movie, wasn't it? See, we don't love mercy except when we're in the Spirit and have the love of God. Oh, praise God. It says, it does not rejoice at wrong, but rejoices in the right. Love bears all things. It has to, beloved. God's love's got to bear all things because it's got to bear me. See, how many of you realize I have offended the mighty God? I have offended the God of creation that spoke the universe into being, and I'm still around. That shows immediately God bears all things. Shows immediately that the love of God, the agape love of God, is very patient. It has to be, or I'd be a greasy spot. Love bears all things, believes all things. Beloved, hear me. If you hear garbage about your preacher, don't you believe it if you love him with God's love? Don't you believe it? You hear someone talking about your sister in this room, don't you believe it? You believe in your brother and in your sister, in your pastor, in your elders. You believe in them, and you believe until and unless it's absolutely known, certain. And then, pray for them. Hold them up in prayer. Do what Galatians 6 says. Go to them in a spirit of meekness. Remember, next time it might be you and try and bring them back. But don't you believe those rumors. Don't you believe it until it's an out-and-out thing known. Where there's, you know, trust them. I wouldn't believe if someone came in here and told me my wife had committed adultery. I wouldn't believe it one minute. I believe in that woman. I trust her. Believes all things. God's love. Hey, I couldn't do that with Aleros. I couldn't do that with old Phileo. Phileo's selfish. Hopes all things. I hope God ministers this to us tonight. I'm hoping all things. God's love endures all things. Brother Floyd, I can't stand him another minute. Yes, you can. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No matter how severe your test is, God says that all of us have gone through the same trials and that God will not allow you to suffer more than you can endure, and He will, with that temptation, send you a way out. You can endure through the love of God. This kind of love, beloved, it says, never, never ends. See, if we had seen more Christians giving and forth this kind of love, you can't give this kind of love forth by pushing it. It's got to be through surrender to Jesus. You, none of you, every one of you in here, you'd just want to give up if that was it. Hey, if you had to grit your teeth to pull that kind of love off, you may as well, you know, say, Lord, I can't pull it off. I may as well go on out and sin and go on to hell. I agree. But see, God didn't say for you to pull that off. He will pull this off. If it's not happening in your life, then you know you're not in the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, let's take a look, fellas, girls, quickly here, at Ephesians chapter 5, and begin with me at verse 25. Husbands, love your wife. I wonder why God said that. I wouldn't have thought God had to tell us to love our wives. But God must have thought He did. Isn't that amazing? Even that much instruction is devastating. Now, I told you, girls and fellas, that we were to love you, to protect you, and provide for you in love. The Greek word here is agape. Love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. Fellas, I want to ask you a question, and I ask myself. Christ's love was sacrificial, wasn't it? How much did God, did Christ give to get His wife, the bride? 50-50? Hey, those of you that think have fallen for the American trap and the world system trap that a marriage ought to be 50-50, that's a lie from Satan. Let me tell you, if you're trying to make it 50-50, let me tell you what you'll think. You'll always think you're not getting your 50's worth. You'll just know you gave in last time and it's his turn this time or her turn this time. Now, let me tell you what the Bible pictures. Listen to me. Let me tell you what God wants. God wants the two of you to want to give in 100% of the time. God wants us to sacrifice, be submitted all the time to each other. Can you picture two people living together, both trying to outgive the other? Both trying to give 100%. Hey, even if you fail and only make it to 90. Bless God, that's better than 50-50. Hallelujah. And so, beloved, just like Christ, how much did Christ give for His wife, the church? 100%. Fellas, of whom much is given, you were given authority, much is required. 100%. And as I tell you, I hear it too. Okay? This isn't for you. I'm not talking down to you. This is for me and Floyd. See, when I read this, I see Floyd Jones' name between every verse. And so the husband is to be. Hear me. The key, the simple key, is Luke 6:38. What do you want from God? What do you want? You want to know how to get it? See, our sin nature, our soul wants to receive. God says, give. See, the natural, that didn't work. I want more money, God. God says, give. Now, Lord, I use my intellect, my soul, and that doesn't work. God says, yeah, I know the things of God are never like that. God says, hey, what do you want? What do you need? You're in here tonight, you need something. You say, I need companionship. Give it. Give it. Floyd, I feel like I need patience. Give compassion and gentleness to others. Floyd, I need money. Give money. Floyd, I need love. Give it. You say, grit my teeth and give it? No, walk in the Spirit and give it. If you grit your teeth, you're back under the law, and it won't work. It won't work. You say, how to do that? Say, Lord, I got a hard heart. Circumcise it better. A little of that foreskin must have grown back, Lord, since you saved me. It's gotten tough around my heart again. I'm a sinner. I'm wrong. I repent. Lord, let me love them. Love them through me, Jesus, and it'll happen. Can you picture Luke 6:38? Give and it shall be given unto you. Pick that bushel basket. Good measure. Pressed down and shaken together and running over. Shall men give unto your bosom? Did you observe it didn't say Christian brothers? God, in that verse, implies that even lost people He'll use to bless you. Bless God. God says the key is to give. To give. And so, beloved, husbands here, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. Now, wait a minute. You say, Brother Floyd, I'm in here tonight, but my wife is rebellious. I don't believe she's going to go for this. How can I do something? First, you love her. I'm not so sure that's going to work. Jesus said in verse 25, do it. Okay? Now, the only way you can do it is probably repent. You say, well, how else am I going to do it if that doesn't work? Well, how did Jesus cleanse His wife? Verse 26, by the washing of water with the what? Word. Oh, my goodness. If Christ is cleansing His wife, I got people all over the world say, oh, the rapture can't occur. Christ can't come back because the bride isn't spotless and without blemish. Wait a minute. Oh, the church has got to go through the great tribulation to get spotless and pure enough. Garbage. Don't you know most of the church is already in heaven waiting on us? How did they get spotless and pure and without blemish? They didn't go through the great tribulation, did they? They may have endured some tribulation. It wasn't the great one. No, you can saw my legs off. That isn't going to make me spotless and pure. I got spotless by the blood of Jesus and washing in the Word. Okay? Hey, I'm telling you, most of the bride's already up there, and God says they're spotless. Now, you say, Brother Floyd, you don't look very spotless to me. I'm not listening to you. I'm going by what my dad said. Now, how about that? He says nicer things about me than you do, and your friends and your neighbors, right? Fellas, teach your wife the Word. Now, do you know how to teach? You don't just open the Bible and read. You first do it, what it teaches, what it says, and then you, when you do it, you teach her what you did. Isn't that how Jesus taught the disciples? He both, Acts chapter 1 verse 1 said, the things that Jesus both did, says the things that he went out to do and teach. He did it first, and then he taught it. How's that for good grammar? He would let the disciples see him do something after they saw him walk in it, then he taught them what he did from the Scriptures. The washing of water by the Word. That he might, for the object, fellows, that Christ might present to himself a glorious bride, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. You want yourself a glorious wife without spot or blemish, fellas? God says, just like Jesus washed his, you're supposed to wash yours with the water of the Word. You live them into this, and you teach them the Word. All right? Now, God wants us to know that just like the church is supposed to be totally dependent upon Christ for all its needs, so the wife and children are supposed to be totally dependent upon the husband. But see, the American system and the world system says, no, girls, be independent. You can see immediately that somebody is telling us the wrong story, right? And so we're in grave danger from this. Now, before we look at verse 28, beloved, the husband was commanded in Genesis 2:15, before he sinned, to work. God expects you, as an obvious expression of your love to your wife, to provide by the sweat of your brow, to work. That's part of it. Now, it's sweat now because of sin. But God always intended the husband to work and to jointly rule the family with the wife. Now, just like Christ came and took the initiative to reconcile his wife to him, when Christ's bride was in sin, he took command and he came in the chain of authority and he reconciled his bride to him. Now, the next statement is going to be devastating, fellas. Because we're the head of our families, it's up to the husband to take the initiative and the responsibility to reconcile family matters. Which means, gang, we've got to come many times in meekness and say that we were wrong. It becomes to the point that it doesn't matter who's right and wrong. Did you know that if your wife is wrong, your feelings toward her can be a worse sin than what she did? And so, when you two... Now, look. You know how it is. You know, get in bed and yank that cover and pop that pillow. No, pop, pop, pop. And woof, and yank that cover. Now, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? God says in Ephesians 4, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Husbands, now who's going to... Hey, now who does God hold responsible to bring that to a... that to arbitrate and close this thing off in the spirit before the devil gets his foothold? The husband, because you are the top of the ladder in the chain of authority. Hey, girls, you thought it was really something to be the top, but man, sometimes there's some tough parts in here. And what I'm saying is this. In order to do that, to reconcile that problem, quite often, fellas, it's going to take swallowing a lot of pride and saying, honey, I sinned against you. I'm wrong. Even if they're wrong, you are responsible for your part of taking the initiative and saying it first. I'm wrong. My heart attitude is wrong. It's sin. I just asked God to forgive me, and now I'm asking you. You see, that kind of love just denies self, doesn't it? It really denies self. Now, let's look again. But hey, they won't think you're weak for doing it. The devil makes you think that they will think you're weak for doing that. But if you really have inner peace over who you are, you can afford to be meek. Now, look at the purpose of this self-sacrifice. What is the purpose then of this self-sacrificing love? It's verse 26 and 27. That we might have a wife that's spotless, that's cleansed, glorious. That's the purpose of self-sacrificing love. That's what happened when Jesus was self-sacrificing in his love. All right? Now, dads, more news. I want to read this one to you from Deuteronomy 6. Listen to this. Deuteronomy 6:6. These words I command you this day shall be in your heart. You shall teach these words to diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up, and you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes, and you will write them on the post of your door. Husbands, we've run from responsibility. We've turned the teaching of our children over to the church, the organized church, Sunday school. Do you know, let me tell you something. I taught for 11 years lost in the Baptist church. Picture you feeling real good at home knowing that, you know, well, I took him to Brother Floyd today and he taught him. Let me tell you, I never taught him anything from God's Word. I taught him my philosophy. And we talked about football games a lot. And planned picnics. And dads, then when they went off to school and some of them lost their faith, you wondered why. And when they begin to doubt God and things, it's because they didn't see Dad with the Bible in his hand, unashamed to pray at lunch in public. You say, well, I don't want to offend them. Paul offended them when he built the fire on the island of Malta. Everyone around him was lost, and he bowed his head and prayed that time when the snake bit him, before he ate. There's a time that it may offend them, but it's supposed to be a testimony and a witness to them. That's not because you're not offending in Bible sense, because your heart motive is not to offend. Bible offending means in your heart you want to offend. You're doing it with the wrong motive. But when you're doing it as a testimony and witness to God and to bless God and thank God, that's not the wrong motive. If they get offended, that's their fault, not yours. And so, dads, I want you to know God holds you and me responsible to teach our children the Word of God. Listen to me. You don't know what some Sunday school teacher may be teaching that kid. You better teach him what God gave you. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart. Now, hey, he may be a prodigal son for a while, but it says he'll come back if we train them. Now, wives, you're in on that part too, I might add. But the point is, husbands, it's up to you to see that this is done. You guys need to talk about the Lord instead of talking about your pastor. Talk about the Lord instead of talking about each other and Brother Floyd, and what they do over at that church. Yeah, yeah. It gets real quiet when I say things like that sometimes. Bless God. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the admonition of the Lord. I wonder why God said, provoke not your children to wrath. Daddies, you reckon that must be easy for us to do? Hey, we need to remember that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are not just for church meetings. They're for the family. God's family and your family. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 28 of Ephesians 5. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. Gosh, I can remember I used to look in the mirror and I loved me a bushel and a peck. I wasn't about to let me get hurt. He that loves his wife loves himself. Look at that. Isn't that sneaky of God? One of his favorite tricks. He says, he that loves his wife loves himself. See, it's God's trick of getting us to give in order to receive. He says, if you love your wife, you're really loving yourself. Hey, let me be bold. You want to go to bed with your friend and your lover or with your worst enemy? If husbands, if y'all have been bickering and arguing and picking and nagging, you know what it's going to be like. Pop, pop. Now, that didn't come to me by a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom. I know about that. And I can tell by the looks on your faces, you do too. And God says, fellas, the key is if you want to get more love, then love her, because if you love her, it'll be like loving yourself. You're going to receive if you give. I love the way God, knowing our sin nature, almost tricks us, you see. Just comes short of tricking us into giving to ourselves. See, God wants you husbands to receive so bad that he's reminding you to give, and me to give. Oh, bless his name. You see, the husband has to give in order to receive. God gave first in order to receive sons into glory. So God set forth the principle of giving first. Verse 29, for no man yet ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body and his flesh and his bones. And for this reason, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife. The two shall become one flesh. Now, brothers, sisters, let me say this. In the Bible, when it says leave father and mother, in Bible days, they didn't leave and go to California. The daddy gave them land to ride across the road, and they left and went right across the road. The only time in the Bible God ever told anyone to leave, pretty much, was Abe when he was getting him out of idolatry. But God never intended the family to be mom and dad living in Lake Charles and in Sulphur, and the children getting and taking a job over in California, and you never get to see the grandchildren. And the children go out there, brand new little young Christians, young marriage with all those problems, and the devil jumps in there and just wipes them out. And you wonder why they came home divorced. Now, some of you have blown it. Don't get under condemnation. I'm just trying to show you why things aren't so good anymore. And now you're getting old, and the kids are way out yonder. You know what I mean? It can be real bad. God never intended that to happen to us. I can't. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge. Fellows. God says, you're no dummy. I gave you a brain. Deal with your wife according to knowledge. You know if you say that to her about her mother, what's going to happen. You know if you say that to her about her food, what's going to happen. Don't be a dumb bunny. You know there's a time during the month when she's a little more sensitive than others. Don't be dumb. Deal with her according to knowledge. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord, I'm getting on to this. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor to the wife. Hey, look, it says you may be over them in the chain of authority, but you're to give honor to them as the weaker vessels. Praise God. Girls, look at that. We don't have to argue anymore, wonder who's the weaker vessel. God said so. You don't have to listen to woman's liberation. God already liberated you. Now, if you're a slave, then you need to be liberated. But I think, when I read the Bible, that Jesus sets you girls free. Now, if you're set free, how can anyone else free you? How can women's lib liberate you? Jesus set you free and loved you enough to put someone over you to protect and provide for you in love, so that you could just greet him at the door when he came in with a great big kiss, so that you could take care and raise children. And girls, you can worship God stirring peas. That's one of your purposes in your family. Now, if you're sitting there just stirring those peas saying, oh, I ought to be chairman of the board down there at Texaco, I ought to be running the church, I ought to be doing all this, and all that venom and poison building up in you, you're blaspheming God. Hey, stir those peas. You say, but Brother Floyd, they don't like green peas. Make it to God. Lord, I know they don't like them, but they're good for them, and I'm going to make them for you. You know, praise the Lord. Give honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, because you are heirs together. I had a man come to me one time. He says, I hate her. I said, God commands you to love her. He says, as your wife. I cannot love that woman as my wife. I said, then love her as your sister in Christ. He says, I can't love her as my sister in Christ. I said, then love her as your enemy. Because God, see, what I'm saying is, God won't let us off the hook. God commands us to love. I want every one of you to know you're either going to love that wife or you're sinning. And God says the reason you should love them, look here, you are heirs together of the grace of life. He says that's your sister in Christ. So that your prayers, fellas, be not hindered. Any of you guys ever prayed a prayer that doesn't get off the roof? It may be you mistreated that little creature that's the weaker vessel that God told you to honor and deal with according to knowledge, and you and I mistreat them and overrule with our authority that God gave, but we don't stay in His authority. Parting shot. Someone in here, some of you fellows are saying, Brother Floyd, I can't love like this. What you've been saying tonight is good, but it just isn't me. Right. It's not any of us. And that's God's whole point in giving us these instructions. To do this and be this kind of husband, we need faith and dependence on God, that God can and will do this in us, fellas. Through us and for us. See, I know I can't be the perfect Bible teacher, the perfect daddy, the perfect husband, the perfect brother to you. I'll fail you guys if you depend on me. Somewhere I'll fail you. So since I know I can't be Mr. Everything, I just go to Jesus and say, I can't do all that. But you can. And I give you permission of my free will. I choose you. And beloved, God says when we do that, Philippians 2:13 says God will even work in us both the will and the do to be the husband God wants you to be. You say, well, how will God do it? Romans 5:5. He will shed His love abroad in our hearts as we surrender so that you can love. So God does it as we faith Him to do it. You know what faith in Him means? Expect. Faith. You got faith in God. You know what that means? You expect. You expect God to produce this in you as you surrender to Him. And so, beloved, the result of all this is Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, fruit of the Spirit in your family. Fruit in your life, husbands, as you grow and God builds His character in us. And the wife sees it and it encourages her to grow in the Lord as we grow in the Lord. So, let me say this. So many of us have set our hearts at being happy. See, you came here tonight because many of you wanted to hear how to have a happy family. And so many of you, all through your life, you've listened to the devil's lie of seeking happiness. Wrong. Happiness is not something you seek. Happiness is a natural consequence. Happiness is a byproduct of letting God's Spirit lead you. You don't seek it. It just happens as we follow the leading of God. We realize that God had demanded from us things that we simply could not produce by the energy of our flesh, by gritting our teeth and trying to be Mr. Wonderful Husband. Now, God did that. You see, God has demanded from us things we just can't do in the flesh, fellas. And that's good, because that's God's way of trying to drive us arrogant, egotistical, independent males to depend on Dad for everything, to come to God, to drive us to Dada, to say, Dada, we need you. We're not independent creatures. We don't know what's best for us. You know my study of history? We say we study history to learn and profit from the mistakes of the past. You know what my study of history reveals? We don't learn anything. My study of history has clearly revealed that the same mistakes and sins that were made in the first chapters of Genesis are still being made today. And not just by lost people, but by God's people. And so, beloved, God wanted to drive us men from our self-reliance, our self-dependence, from being independent creatures to depend on Him. And yet the balance to that is God holds us individually responsible for the choice to do things God's way. But then the power to do the doing of doing it God's way, that's got to come from Dad. And that God wants us to faith Him to give us that power. Don't you understand? He wants your marriage to be a rock. God wants your marriage to be so powerful that all the lost people on your street, when their lives are falling apart and their kids are on drugs and their wives are being unfaithful and their husbands are cheating on them and they're screaming and they've been through three divorces, God wants you to be the rock. God wants them to see, and they know you've got problems. They know you're going under financially. That you've got real financial problems. They know you've got problems at the job. They know you're facing, that your mother's dying. They know you're in crisis after crisis. But yet, something's there that you don't get ruffled over. Something that holds your marriage together like a rock. And it's the love of God shed abroad in your heart through Jesus. So finally, beloved, one day, one of them will pound on your door and demand to know what I have. And so, beloved, Christ, as He is to His church, so the husband is to the wife. And fellas, Jesus presented His bride spotless by loving them. That's the way for you to do it. And so it's Christ's love living in us and loving through us. Praise God. Would you stand?